You're listening to Rocket Knight.
Okay, this is Charisse with Rocket Knight, and this is our first interview of 2025. And we're speaking with Anne-Marie Joe, a musician, songwriter from Detroit, Michigan. Hey, Anne-Marie.
Hi, Charisse. How are you doing today?
Do you want me to stick the Joe on or just Anne-Marie?
Anne-Marie's good. I know it's a mouthful already.
Yeah. Well, Rocket Knight premiered your song. I think it came out in November, Excuse Me While I Lose My Cool.
Let's
talk about that song. The video was a lot of fun.
Yes, that was my very first music video. So that was a lot of fun. The shooting and everything was way more energy than I expected that it demanded, but it was very cool. We shot it in Detroit at Aretha's Jazz Cafe. So like I said, it was my very first time working with, worked with White Knuckle Productions, and they did such a fabulous job. I was very nervous, obviously, showing up. We shot for around eight and a half hours, I think. Yeah, 8.5 hours, just for 3 minutes of play. So it was a lot of effort, but it was good, you know. It took time to shake out the nerves and get comfortable in front of the camera. But yeah, that video, as well as the single, released December 6th, so just last month. And it's been awesome. I've been getting a lot of great feedback, and shooting it in the video within the Detroit Music Hall has been giving me a lot of ins and attention that way, which has been really cool because it's, you know, a well-known and respected venue here. So that was a lot of fun. I got to do a debut show with them just last Thursday, January 2nd, at the Jazz Cafe, which was a lot of fun. So that's where I shot the video and got to bring it to life.
What was cool about the video is you actually had a storyline.
Yes. Yeah, that was a lot of fun. I did not come up with that. Everyone's like, did you come up with that? The video producer Drake, he was so awesome, came up with that idea, and I kind of liked it because it took the attention a little bit off of me and kind of gave this idea and you know, it grabbed your attention for the song rather than just listening to this song and seeing me perform on a stage for 3.5 minutes. So yeah, I thought it was a lot of fun, and that was so fun to play a bartender role because I've never worked at a restaurant or been behind a bar like that, at least not when I'm allowed to. So that was a lot of fun.
Well, what was cool is you were performing on stage, you're playing the electric guitar, and I believe there was a sax player with you as well.
Yes, Keith Kaminsky. He's actually one of Bob Seger's saxophone players. So I had three of the horns groups from Brass Jar Music Horns. So yeah, it was so awesome. I was able to get in with them. My producer, Chuck Alkazian from Pearl Sounds, knows them and was able to get them in. And then he was nice enough to say, yeah, I'll come out for the shoot. So that was really awesome to have him there for the solo.
Of course, the production is great. I love Chuck's work. And I'm sure you enjoy working with him. I mean, the sax, everything is great. Well, I reviewed your song and your video, and I really was getting the bluesy vibes. Are you going in this direction of being a blues artist, or what? Tell me about that.
So labeling myself as a genre has been something that I struggled with over the last few years. And I think putting out this song has helped me kind of like shake that fear of like trying to fit within this box of, okay, I can be a pop artist or I can be this. But I had so many different musical influences growing up. Like my dad was listening to Hall & Oates, Billy Joel, America, like a lot of this yacht rock, as well as classic rock, like the Rolling Stones and stuff like that, where I was also influenced with my mom's music of Tina Turner and Aretha Franklin and Diana Ross. So for a while, I didn't put out too much music, or struggled to even get into the studio because I was like, man, I don't know what I want to label myself as. So I released a song in February, Cherry on Top. I'm not sure if you're familiar, but that was more pop, maybe a little bit R&B. And
But it
then
was
I had,
kind of
yeah, a
jazzy.
little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this one, I was like, man, I want to rock it up a little bit. And so I said, screw it. I'm not gonna fit myself into a certain genre. I'm just gonna put out what music I want to. Now, with that being said, I'm not gonna so drastically like take my fans on this huge roller coaster, but I think it's refreshing seeing some artists nowadays just putting out some music that has all these different influences. So yeah, maybe you'll see a little bit more blues rock from me, or maybe some pop, but we'll see where it flows.
Your voice really lends it well to the blues genre. That's
Yeah.
why I said that, and I happen to be a fan too. I mean, you gave me this, you have like a little bit of a huskiness to the voice, which made me think of like Susan Tedeschi. I also
Yes.
saw you did a video of Etta James, and
Yes.
so I figured, wow, maybe she's going to start kind of,
Yeah.
Getting into that niche there of blues. I don't know if you're familiar with Beth Hart. She's my favorite.
Okay.
You need to
Yeah,
look
it
her
just
up.
sounds familiar. I'll check her out. But Susan Tedeschi and the Trucks Band is a huge influence on me, and I definitely get that a lot, and that means so much to me because oh, she's just so amazing. But
Well, and also playing the electric guitar, she does that too. So I definitely was picking up on those vibes. The song is great.
Clock strikes, Friday couldn't come sooner. Uptight, feeling all the stress uncovered. Dress nice as I get it. We're taking it down, boy, by the rounds. See me, yeah, you know it's time to let go. Bubbly, dancing only with Prosecco. Babe, please, should've known this from the get-go. Nobody else in here can make me wanna leave. Yeah, we better get down tonight. So
also cherry on top. I mean, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the lyrics and the story behind it.
Yeah, Cherry on Top was a bit more meaningful of a song for me. So obviously, Excuse Me is more of that just energetic, like letting it out. Whereas Cherry on Top, I was going through this period with one of my best friends. She's still my best friend to this day. But just this like reality of adult relationships. And, you know, I've known her since high school. So we're going through college and now we're, you know, some of us are in our master's program. Some of us are pursuing, you know, adult careers. And so like, we're seeing each other less, we have less priority for our friends and chances to see each other. And so I kind of felt that I was putting towards this, I guess this like effort into our relationship that I wasn't receiving back. And so that's what that song's about. Some people might, you know, read it or listen to it and think it's about a boy, about a love story. It's still about a relationship, a different love story, right? But yeah, just a story about I guess that struggle with one of my friends. Then it ends with that, you know, it changes my idea of like the cherry on top, I'm done with this, to hopefulness of like, just call me back and let's make this right. So yeah, that's the story behind Cherry.
That's the thing. I mean, when people graduate from college, people go in different directions. It doesn't mean that you're not thinking of them, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously, musicians and songwriters, I'm a very emotional forward person. So I live in my mind a lot and overthink. And I definitely get that feeling of like overthinking, man, what did I do? What am I doing to push this person away? And more times than not, that's not the case, but it was just one of those desperate moments. And that song, man, I think I wrote it in like 15 minutes. It was just a pour out and quick write, and it was good.
Well, what does she think of it?
My friends, like I said, they still all love me and they understand, you know, the efforts of it. And I'm so grateful for all my friends. I have 5 or 6 just really close girlfriends that, you know, we're okay. If we have an issue, we're going to talk about it because, man, I value our relationship and I don't want anything to come between it, which is a really healthy way of doing it. But so, yeah.
My plans will drop, it's all I've got.
Sisterhood is really important because
absolutely.
I'm the same way. And I think it's really important for women to support other women.
Definitely.
Especially in the music industry, you're a minority.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the places I sing at, and I'm in a full band as well, I don't come across a lot of females. I'm in four other men in my band. I'm the only female. And a lot of the festivals I sing at, I'm not seeing too many females on stage. When I do, it's obviously, I mean, it's just as refreshing to see a great male vocalist or artist up there, but we're definitely a fewer bunch than you would think.
That's true. I saw you were in another band called, is it St. John Smith? You're
yes.
A singer.
Yep.
And my goodness, you have gigs all the time.
Oh yeah.
You have time to do anything.
I know, it's this 2024 year was crazy. I think I pushed past 150 shows this year, which is crazy to think about, because I'm like, man, there's only 365 days. Yeah. Yeah, I split my time between band and solo. Everyone always asks me, do you have a favorite? And they're both giving in such different ways. It just depends. I just love what I do. I also love getting away from the performance side and getting into the studio and putting out my own stuff, because a lot of the band gigs as well as my solo gigs, I'm kind of like entertainment, right? You're out Friday night and you just want people to dance. And so I love the type of shows. Like last Thursday, when I was at the Aretha Jazz Cafe, where I get to put my artist face on rather than my entertainer side, and get to, you know, just give to the audience rather than just entertain. So, but I definitely stay busy with lots and lots of gigs.
Out of curiosity, have you ever played at Willis Show Bar? Because I love that little place.
I have not. A dear friend of mine works there now, and works sound there. He worked sound at Tin Roof, and he was just at my show last year. He's like, man, we got to get you guys in here. So we're working on it. It's coming soon.
No, there's a great vibe over there. And yeah. I saw Ryan Neal there a couple of times, but it's just very nostalgic inside.
Yeah,
I love it.
Yeah,
retro.
Totally.
Do you play at like coffee shops too? Because I know I've seen videos of you with an acoustic guitar playing. Do you kind of like doing the coffee shop scene? Or?
Coffee shops, not too much anymore. Man, I played at Desert Oasis, which is 5 minutes from my old house when I was 13 and 14 years old. I think that's where my
on
first
Main Street, right?
Yeah. Yeah, there's one on Main Street.
And I know it well.
Yeah, and downtown Rochester as well. There's another one. And I was a regular there for open mic. But no, not too many coffee shops, but like dinner hour restaurants at some of my regular places. That's where I'll, you know, it's just me and my acoustic kind of doing a strip back set. So.
So going solo, this is kind of a new thing for you. You just produced these two songs.
Yeah, putting a solo artist definitely is a new piece for me. I put out an EP back in 2018, was it now? It was a Christian EP. So I was worship director for almost 7 years at my church. And so that was kind of like an outpouring of that. And then, like I said, I struggled with putting out music because I was like trying to define myself and finally I realized I didn't need to define myself and I'm just going to put out what I want. And so two this year, I'm hoping I break that number, maybe three or four next year. Got some in the works, but yeah, try to push myself as a solo artist. And man, it's a lot tougher than expected. It's a lot of work, especially when I'm doing 150 shows a year. I give so much credit to people trying to pursue solo or full band. You know, if you're in a group, it's just, there's a lot of behind the scenes that people don't really
doing know so about. Many gigs, how does that affect your voice?
Yes, it's definitely been something to I've had to get used to. So like I said, I was worship director for around 7 years and I stepped down from that to make music and gigging my full time, I think 2022. So I was still kind of transitioning. The world was transitioning out of COVID, which was a really hard time for me. Shut down a lot of my work, but I jump-started right back in the end of 2022 season and into 2023 with so many gigs that I struggled and got laryngitis because I was pushing myself and I didn't understand the proper care for it. And so I had 5 gigs last week, so I'm a little raspy now. And, you know,
raspiness sounds good though.
Yeah.
Bluesy.
It's 15 degree weather out in Michigan. Yeah. Does not help the case, right? But yeah, just learning how to care for myself. I do a lot of no talk days, which is also really refreshing after a weekend. I usually do Mondays or my no talk days. I'll go 24 hours without a blip, no humming, no anything. So it kind of helps me wind down and give the proper rest that I need to. And also I work with a vocal coach. I've been out of that game for a couple months now, but I just texted her today hoping to get back in because, you know, you can never stop learning and improving your instrument. So
I've talked to some singers and they drink special tea concoctions and honey.
Oh yeah, I got my cell food drops into my throat coat with some honey. Oh yeah, I've got it all down packed of my favorite things to help out. So definitely helps to get a regimen going.
I saw that you sang at the Tigers game. You did the national anthem. That is a difficult song to sing.
Yes. Yeah. I've done that 4 or 5 times now. It's been a year or so since I've been back. They've changed their criteria of who gets to pick it now. So I'm like, last season I was like, get me in there. But oh yeah, it's so much fun. I was just talking about this the other day to somebody. The very first time I did it, I want to say it was in 2018. Everyone's like, were you nervous? Were you? And I was like, no, not at all. And then I went and I opened my mouth for the very first word and I just blacked out. And everyone's like, you did amazing. I was like, well, that's good because I don't remember it. Like I just saw bright light and sang it and came off. And they told me, you know, the lyrics are hidden somewhere. If you find them right under the board, I didn't see them. I just... So, but it is. And now that I've done it a few times, it's a lot of fun. And it's just such a different experience for me. Then that's what I love about gigging and different shows and showcases is that each experience is so different and gives me joy in just such different ways. So I'm really grateful that I got that opportunity.
Are they having the Winter Blast soon, the festival?
Is that the Royal Oak one?
Yeah.
It should be coming up in February, I think. I think I just tried to submit and get in there.
Yeah, that was one of my questions. It's going to be festival season before you know it. And do you have your sights on any of the festivals?
Yeah, I put in, I did all my festival submissions, not all of them, but quite a few new ones. That's a goal of mine for 2025 is to branch out from my normal gigging places. So I have a lot of regular places that I go and attend, which is nice for income, but I'm trying to branch out and festivals are a great, great way for people to learn the artists and not just the entertainment and side music. So I know I'll be back at Arts Beats and Eats this year, which was so awesome. I was there last year for my very first time on the acoustic stage. And I'll be back there with my full band, actually under the name Taylor Tucky, which is their sister band. So we'll be playing more country, but we'll be on the main national stage this year, which is really awesome. So
you really are versatile. You do play a lot of genres, don't you?
Yes. Country is not in my genre. I started off playing a lot of country, especially when I was gigging younger, but they got that opportunity to do it as the country band for the country stage. So I'll just be helping out and singing some songs and I don't know, maybe we'll throw a couple of my originals in there. Maybe Excuse Me can pass off as country, switch that saxophone solo to electric guitar solo and call it a day.
Well, look at how many pop stars have switched to country.
Oh yeah. So many.
a lot. And so it's okay to dabble in different genres. I think that's
good. Especially for a festival like that. It's just the fun of getting out there and trying something new. So
now when you play as Anne Marie Jo, solo artist, are your backup band, is it the St. John Smith people or do you have other people help you?
Yes. St. John Smith, my bandmates help me out, back me for those type of gigs. But a lot of my Anne Marie Jo gigs are my solo gigs. So it's just me, my acoustic. But if it's a full band, like last Thursday was just an Anne Marie Jo showcase at the Aretha Jazz Cafe, and they backed me. And we did a lot of our normal, normal show tunes that we usually do. But they're awesome with being versatile and help me out where it comes. My drummer came and drummed for me for Excuse Me While I Lose My Cool, as well as my guitarist. And I know any other of them would be willing to come and help me. And they're very supportive of my independent role as well as an artist.
Now, since you are from Detroit and that is Motown, have you thought or have you done any covers that are Motown covers?
Yeah, I do a little bit. I would say not too much Motown with full band, where we're a bit more rock, pop rock kind of cover band. And we do your typical like fan favorites that, you know, we kind of keep our set the same, but solo, I get a lot of Motown requests. So I'll throw some in there from time to time.
Well, I saw a video of you doing the great Christmas song, What Christmas Means to Me.
I love Stevie Wonder. He was a big influence on me. My dad got me into Stevie Wonder at a very young age. So,
and I saw that you did an Elton John song. I was thinking a good one for you to do would be Leave On. I love that song.
Yes. love Elton John. I throw a couple of there in my acoustic as well as full band.
You play the piano too, don't you? Yeah.
Yes. I don't know if I'm up there with Elton John piano playing, but I think until I make it, right?
Well, when you're on stage, do you ever just play the piano and sing, or do you do everything with a guitar?
Everything, guitar. It's been a long time since I've been on a piano on stage. I'd say for church, sometimes I'm on a piano, but to travel with a keyboard, and my keyboard is not really a travel case kind of a thing. So my solo gigs are definitely just my acoustic, or sometimes I'll bring my electric to spice things up.
We're in the new year, 2025. Anything interesting that you have planned or anything that you would like to do this year?
Yeah. Like I said, my 2025 goals were to expand my gigs a little bit, get some new places, some new festivals, maybe a bit more travel just to kind of get my name out there. I'm also trying to prioritize some me time. 2024 really kicked my butt. Like I said, I did over 150 shows. And with that, all of my time that I have work that I'm working, everyone else has off. So my holidays, my weekends, and it just gets a lot, both mental and physically. So I'm thinking every 5 weeks I get either a Friday or Saturday off. I give myself it off and maybe I can make up that time with some of the other festivals and stuff like that. So prioritizing me time, I definitely want to get back in the studio, get some new singles out there. I was thinking of starting to work towards an album and I'm like, man, I just don't want to wait and gather the songs that I have ready. I just want to put out music as I got them. So I think that's my plan, is to continue releasing a few more singles. I'm always in the writing process. And as a newer artist, I struggle with, is this good enough? Is this good enough to put out? So, man, I have so many finished songs and I just struggling to, you know, it's always like the one that you'll finish and all right, this is it. I'll record this next week. So hoping to get some new music in. And then personal life, I'm getting married in 2025, which is very awesome. So I'll have some time off there in the summer. So yeah, I'm excited. This is going to be a good year. I can feel it.
Well, you might want to take some weekends off if you're getting married, for sure.
I know. Oh yeah. And I have always got it. When I take a weekend off, I've always have to take it like 6 months in advance. Everything. You have to make a plan with me. Let me know months in advance and I will take it off for you.
Like most musicians, most everybody has a day job. Do you have a day job too?
I did not. Like I said, in 2022, I made this my full time. So that kind of gave me some more time to songwrite. When I first made this my full-time, I went back to school and just did some online courses through Berklee School of Music online. Mm-hmm. So I got a songwriting certificate, music marketing certificate. I just did another songwriting masterclass. And so, yeah, no day job as of now. Just doing music full-time, both solo and gigging.
You've been busy.
Definitely. All good things, though. All good things.
Yeah. Anything that you would like people to know about you or your music before we say goodbye? Anything special?
Man, I don't think I've ever been asked that question. Like, just like an open-ended.
Yeah. What's something that hasn't been published or hasn't been out there that you always think, God, I wish people would know this about me? Or
I think a lot of my writing comes from like personal experiences, which is not new and not unheard of, but sometimes people like expect you to go through such heartbreaking or such highs to come up with this songwriting and to be a great artist. And I think I'm just an average Rochester girl in Metro Detroit. I love to snowboard. I love to have bonfires. I love to boat. I love water sports. You know, I love hanging out with my friends and just hanging low. So I feel like if anything, I'm just kind of a normal girl trying to do what she loves. And I think that's why I'm kind of teetering away from day job is I'm going to give this a go and see if I can just make with what I love doing, and we'll see what comes of it.
You're listening to Rock at Night.
The introductory song, Get On Down, is from blues artist Billy Bass Alford. Look for his music at ReverbNation.com.